Lil'McCoogan has brought a lot of color to CLIs within Python due to Rich. Then Textual started rethinking full command line applications, including layout with CSS. And now Textualize, a new startup, is bringing CLI apps to the web. Welcome to Test and Code. If you've found value in this podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go over to pythontest.com and look either in the top menu bar or in the bottom footer? And there's a few links we're going to talk about. Contact is how you can get a hold of me. Newsletter is how I can get a hold of you. And support is how you can find links to things like my book, the PyTest book, PyTest courses, the community where you can ask questions. And that's about it, really. I'd really appreciate if, especially if you could sign up for the newsletter. I'm trying to collect emails of people that might be interested in similar topics. Well, I am super excited today to have Lil'McCoogan. You started Textualize. Actually, tell me what the timeline was.
Okay. So I guess last year at some point, I decided to take a year off. I was going to take a year off. I had some savings. I was prepared to work through those savings, and then I would build Textual, and I'll build this web service alongside it that used Textual. And then at the end of that year, I would approach VCs and see if I could turn it into a business. Or worst case scenario, I would just go back like a regular day job, like everyone else.
Yeah.
And I tweet this, you know, I find it quite cathartic to just tweet things and get feedback. And I somehow managed to inadvertently attract some interest from VC company. So it didn't take long. You know, you do a little bit of negotiation and you kind of agree on what the plan is. And then you're running a tech startup. It's all very quick.
Okay. Quick is like relative. Because you've done everything faster than everybody else seems to. Or maybe I'm just the one not understanding how things are going. But I don't think the normal course of events is tweet something and then VCs chase after you.
No, it's not. No. Everything when I started looking into it, and I hadn't looked into it previously, it said you'll approach many VCs, you'll get used to being knocked back, and you'll have to work on your elevator pitch, and most people aren't successful. But it seemed to happen very quick for me.
Okay.
I think because of the company, the VC company, they specialize in taking open source projects and then building companies around them. And also there've been some other companies in a similar kind of space. So they saw a potential niche and they were quite keen to go ahead.
Okay. I guess let's just get the big news out of the way. Probably everybody knows already, but Textualize is a thing now. It's your company, right?
Yeah. I've been running it since January, and got three employees. So we're a very small tech company, but it's going well. I love the fact that I can continue to work on the open source, because the open source is part of a big part of the business. So we're, building something that's open source, fixing bugs, taking contributions, and everyone can use it. And I love that fact.
Yeah, it's really cool. So on the open source side, you've got a few projects. You've got started with Rich, and then I can't remember what came next, Rich or Textual or Rich CLI, but around the same time.
Textual came next, yeah.
Textual is what? It's not just Rich. It's for like, what does Textual add?
So it's building a text user interface. Okay. Which is basically when the application takes over the full area of your terminal, and it can render lists and text editors and dialogues and such. So it's kind of like a GUI or a web application, but within your terminal.
Yeah, and it looks way better than, so okay. So when I way back when I was a youngster, they DOS apps were that. I mean, there were the old DOS apps were text based user interfaces.
They're not new. No, they go way back. They predate the desktop and the web. So it's definitely not the new cool thing. I think it's an old thing that's become cool again.
So one of the big holes was that there wasn't a lot, or maybe there was innovation, but I didn't see it. I don't think there was a lot of innovative things, both on capabilities, but also on the developer experience the CLI space.
Yeah, and I think the reason for that is that the web came along, and everyone saw the web as the platform, and maybe there was just terminals were old and archaic, and we didn't need to develop for them. People are using very old APIs like Perses, that's been around for literally decades, to build these things. And we haven't benefited from all the work that's been done in the web space, because in the web, people are constantly trying to innovate and try to make better ways of making user interfaces. But the terminal hasn't really benefited from that.
And you, one of the things you've done with Textual then is to bring in a layout scheme similar to CSS then, right? Or
So we're actually using CSS. It's a dialect of CSS. It's a subset of the declarations, but we've got the same kind of rules. So you can apply rules to a particular widget, or a descendant of a particular widget. A child, that kind of thing, and you can apply various declarations that affect how it looks. And the syntax is very, very similar to like CSS, from the web, but it applies to the terminal.
And then Textualize, you're bringing it back to the web, right? Is that what's going on?
it's going full circle. So the thing is, I think for many developers, particularly Python developers, Textual will hopefully be one of the fastest ways of building a user interface of any kind, which is fantastic. I think that's great. I'm hoping that people will distribute these applications to other developers. But I don't want it to be exclusively in for the domain of developers, because that kind of limits it to developer-y tools. And the only way to bring it to everyone else is to put it on the web. So that's what Textualize is doing. Textualize is the service. Textual is the open source project.
Okay.
Okay,
so Textualize is the service, but Textual is the open source project. Am I going to be able to do these textual applications running in the web, or running in a web browser with the open source project, or just through?
So there'll be a very generous free tier for a tier for open source, and also the first tier. So if you want to distribute your application to a certain number of users, you probably come under the free tier, so you'll be able to use that for free. If you want more scalability and you want extra features, then that would be the commercial side. So you'd sign up. It's kind of a software as a service model.
Okay. Sure. Can't imagine anybody complaining about you finally making money off of this, because you've given, Rich and Textual already have given so much to the community. We've got a lot of other open source tools now look a lot better because of these tools. So it's pretty cool. I mean, even Pip has Rich in it, right? Or a vendored version of it.
That's right. Yeah. But for the progress bars, I was I was very excited when I first did Pip install and I saw a Rich progress bar.
Yeah. So that's one of the interesting things is Rich is not that big of a library. There's a lot of features in there, but it's not a big ask to have that as a dependency. Even something I don't know, I'm using it for an application just for the tables, just because I like the way Rich handles tables better than any other table solution I came across. So it's worth it. And the color, the default coloring also sometimes, so decisions are also a problem. Making decisions is hard, especially when you're just doing a quick application. So having the default colors be different and reasonable to start with is awesome. I like it.
I try to make things work reasonably well out of the box. There's loads of parameters to tweak. I mean, and the table class in particular has so many options that you can define how it looks. But the defaults generally work quite well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the only tweaking I did last I did it for the application I wrote, the little application I wrote for the PyTest book, and one of the things was the default like divider between the headers or the titles of the column headers and the columns themselves. There's just a line there, no big deal, but the default was like dashed lines or something, and there was. When we went to when it got translated to Mobi or EPUB for digital books, the layout was messed up. It looked fine in the PDF, but it was messed up in the other one. So I just switched to the solid line, and it looked fine. So
yeah,
minor things, but anyway, just having fun with I actually have a couple ideas for Textualize. So I was curious, one of the things I was holding back for was character input. So that wasn't there at first. Is there a character input solution now?
Someone's written one, because we're building out this CSS branch. And before we've like finished all that API, we can't really start working on widgets.
Okay.
So we've unfortunately paused the 0.1 branch, but someone else has stepped in. I can't remember who developed it, but they built a text input widget for the older API. But fairly soon, hopefully in a couple of months, we'll have proper text input and we'll start adding on various widgets and even a full editor, you know, full multi-line, multi-page editor.
Really? Mm. Oh, that'd be cool. Neat. So, so I can go out and as just an exercise, I can try to re-implement Vim or something like that in Textual.
Yeah, well, Vim's pretty massive, but I'm sure you could have an editor that you're very familiar to. You know, you could use the Vim keys. Yeah. If you wanted to.
I'm not going to. That just seems like too much work. but it'd be a fun exercise actually for. I don't know, college level sort of stuff to be able to just say not everything, but a handful of the operators for either Emacs or Vim handle that within I could totally see this happening in an education setting. So, one of the things I like about, Textual and Rich so far is to be able to do command line interfaces quick, like, okay, this in combination with other innovations that have happened, like Typer, is great for having the commands to a command line application. So combining those two is incredibly powerful, and then being able to just have something that looks kind of like a GUI for real, there's a lot of quick things like I'm you know, a make system or something, or you've got like a handful of developers that use it. There's not that many questions, but there's a few, like which platform you're building for or something like that. To have that be a nice graphic interface and at the same time a nice command line option for people that know what they're doing, sort of thing. But if you don't remember the options, to just run the thing and pop up a few dialogues and stuff, being able to do that in Textual is so cool. And it looks so much better than it looks good. It's really cool. And having it be not very much work is really important. And I think that's one of the things you've added. Because I would never, like if I was doing a make system and I was thinking, maybe I'll do a GUI or something, I would not grab curses. That's not something you grab.
I'm amazed there are so many curses projects out there, because you have to be really quite motivated to work your way through courses. So I'm hoping, you know, in the future I'll have integration with Pydantic or something, so you could create a Pydantic model and that would turn it into a form, and then you'd pop up a TUI, you'd fill in the form, and then that return the Pydantic model.
Oh, wow.
So you could integrate it with anything. We needed to get some, you know, field from the user. Maybe yeah. You know, your CLI could have a -- TUI option. You add that, and then it doesn't get things from the command line. It just asks for the input in a form.
Yeah, or maybe an adders object or something. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. So how? So now you're a full-fledged company of how many people now?
4 people in total. We've got 2 developers and a part-time bookkeeper / PA. He's also my wife.
Okay. So she's totally on board with this crazy plan of yours as well. I guess not so crazy. So
no, it felt crazy right at the start. I mean, she was on board with me taking a year off. It was partially to de-stress, to be honest.
To de-stress, you've started a company.
I know. It was which was actually quite stressful to begin with. Seems to be quieting down now, but okay. There was a lot to take on board. A lot of things I'd never thought about. You know, I've got my head in code the last 25 years. I hadn't thought about running a company and what's involved, so I had to learn quite quickly.
Okay. Well, I guess that's one of the interesting another question. Are your VC backers helping with that part of it, or are you having to learn the running a company on your own?
They are helping. They're quite hands-on, but it's complicated by the fact that the funding comes from the US, and I'm running the company in the UK.
Okay.
So there was some complications there, which I had to work through. The US side couldn't help me a great deal because they didn't have much experience with the UK side. So there's lots of, you know, regulation issues and legal issues and accounting issues. But okay. I think I've just about figured that out.
Nice. Okay. Very cool. Well, normally, so you have, it hasn't even been a year since you decided to take a year off, has it? Or has it been about a year?
No, much less than a year. I think it was November that I quit my job. No, October. Yeah, it hasn't been very long at all.
Okay. Yeah. So normally I would think, you know, it's a startup just starting out. This last weekend, you finally told everybody what you were doing. So when do we, do you know when we'll have services available at Textualize?
Hard to say for certain, but the kind of web service would probably be the end of the year.
Okay.
We'd have the free tier and accounts running. Because in order to get there, we've got to get Textual working, and it's got to be slick, easy to use, and well documented.
Okay.
So that would be the first milestone, which we're hoping to get, you know, in the second half of the year, maybe like from August, we'll have like a 1.0. And then alongside that, we'll work on the web service and then hopefully a free tier by the end of the year.
That's awesome. Okay. And the reason to go public, you said on Twitter that you don't really like keeping secrets and working in the secret. Is that mostly why, or?
That's certainly partially, but I don't think there's much benefit in keeping it a secret. You know, got all this time, got a whole year, which I could be tweeting about it and blogging about it and getting more interest in it.
Yeah.
I think that is way more beneficial than keeping it a secret for an entire year. And to be honest, I don't think if anyone watching now, thought, oh, that's a great idea. I'll try replicating that. I don't think they would catch up.
I don't think so either, knowing the pace at which you develop stuff, man. Of course, you might be slowing down if we can get you in more administrative roles, and away from the keyboard, your project might slow down a little bit.
But yeah, I'm trying to avoid that. I mean, I do still love writing code. Talking to people that have been in the same position, they do say in a few years, you might expect to move away from writing code at all into more of a kind of a managing position, yeah. Which I'm not looking forward to. I actually suspect when we get to that position that I would be a CTO. Okay. Someone else would be the chief COO, chief operating officer. And I would be responsible for code because I think that's my strengths.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you have weaknesses, but I think I would, if I were you, I would ignore you. You already do ignore everything when people say that's not the way you do things, because it seems like your way works. So yeah.
So far.
the last bit of time you guys have been working on CSS or CSSizing textualize, mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yeah, we've got a solid CSS parser which builds the interface. That's kind of working at the moment. And on top of that, it's got really nice errors. So if you got some broken syntax or some kind of logical error, it'll do it rich style and show you the code and the column that's wrong. It'll give you some a nice error message and some suggestions how to fix it. Because what we're really building is something that's super easy to use and helpful. You know, so that's where we're focusing our time on. I think if we wanted to get features, quickly, we could probably be much further ahead. But what we're really aiming for is to make it just super easy to use.
Right. You announced not too long ago about the logging backend, so that you can so you can kind of pay attention to the events that are happening. So there's a log channel to pay attention to if you're debugging something.
That's right. So it's kind of strange because when I was building Textual, of course I'd want to use Rich to write out data structures. You know, I tend to like the kind of printf style of debugging, but you can't do that in a 2E because if you write to standard output when you're rendering an interface, then it just messes up the interface, and then the next frame you don't see the output anymore, which has always felt really weird because I've been, spent 2 years working on Rich and I couldn't use it for Textual. So we built this tool, we call it Dev Tools. Basically, you run a server in one terminal, and then Textual talks to it via WebSocket. So you can have like a nice log that's rendering, pretty rich style data structures in one window, whilst the actual app is rendering in another.
Okay, that's pretty neat. And I like the way that you're working with this with focusing on the developer experience. So because you're using it, you're dog fooding it while you're building it. And that's pretty cool. I'd much rather have this be solid and usable than moving faster, I guess. Not that you asked me, but it's nice to see the command line get some attention, and also the developer experience. So that's pretty neat. I think that that is something that other people can replicate. I think a lot of other companies would benefit by slowing down a little bit and focusing on the developer experience. Mm-hmm. And I think there are companies doing that, and the projects that do that, I think, are benefiting because us nerdy types are the early adopters. And we're going to, even if we might not be your cash flow later, we'll be your advocates, I guess. So,
yeah, I think a lot of companies assume that developers are smart and therefore they can put up with interfaces which are a bit clunky, tricky to use, and require pouring through documentation. And I think sometimes that they forget that developers are human beings and they value their time. You know, if the command line interface can spend a little bit, if you can put a little bit of interface, a little bit of time to render nice errors or to make it elegant to use, I think developers would appreciate that. So it would save them time. And if you multiply that by all your users, you've saved a lot of time for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, like, one of the big benefits of PyTest is when an assert happens, it tells you exactly where in the line the problem is. And then some, I think it was Python 3.10 that had like better tracebacks with telling you not only in the what line the problem is, but where in the line. And I know that was a lot of work to put in, but there's a lot of other cool stuff in Python 3.10, but for developers, that's one of the most exciting things is just helping me, just shaving off seconds or minutes of me debugging. And it's huge. So
I think it adds up. You know how when you're working, you've got iteration cycles. You write some code and then you run it, and then you write some code and run it. If the error message tells you where to fix your code, it can save you like seconds per iteration. But how many iterations do you do in a day? I think it can add up, depending on what you're working on, to tens of minutes, which might not seem like a lot, but think of it over the course of a year. I don't know, what is that? Is that a week of time you've been given back?
The other thing that really saves, and I think it saves a lot more than that, is because I don't really know where the problem is until I see the first traceback. Mm-hmm. But when I see the traceback or a log error message or a log, logging or something, I kind of think I know where the problem might be. And if the error message is clear enough to tell me that it's not there, it's somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Then I've saved an entire a branch of debugging that would have been fruitless. I mean, because like print debugging, I'm guilty of that too. I like it. It's mostly because I do a lot of real-time stuff that debugging would completely slow down the process. So I want to be able to see things happening in multiple threads and multiple things at a time. So that's really hard to do with debugging. You kind of have to let it run and then examine the logs after. But anyway, I might go off and add a bunch of log statements to a part of the code to try to isolate the problem. And that's not even where the problem is. It's somewhere else. So that sort of stuff. That was a tangent though, but, I don't know what else to add other than I'm super excited to see where this goes, and I'm excited to see. I'm glad that there's something that's going to build money around this so that you can keep making Textual awesome for all of us open source people.
I don't think couldn't really do it nearly as well without funding. I built Rich just as a hobby. It was like evenings and weekends. Textual, I think, and he's going to need a lot more time to do it justice. So I think, this is a fantastic marriage of open source and commercial interest, and they don't conflict, I think.
So, and that's great. So, on the commercial side, or just the textual in a web browser, where's a model where that works well? I mean, why would I do that other than just do an application, like a regular web application?
It kind of is a regular web application when you've built a textual app and it's running in the browser. It'll look just like it'll look a bit retro, perhaps, because it's on a grid of characters. But you'll be super comfortable with it. You know, it'll have scroll bars and menu items. So I see it as just an alternative way of creating web applications that also happen to be GUI, and we can also make them installable to the desktop because you can build them as a progressive web application. So you click an icon in the title bar, and then it installs it into your home screen. effectively making it a desktop application as well, so that you've got like three classes of application. You've got 2e web application and desktop application, and that's a single source base.
Okay. And there's a lot of places within coding where the retro look or something is not even a downside, it's a benefit. But like I'm thinking dashboards for, you know, monitoring whatever. It worked fine for places like things like that. Are there like, is that mostly the target, or do you know? I guess you don't really know.
Can't be certain what people are going to use it for, but I think it's very good for stuff that updates in real time. Tables and numbers is very good at. Log files is very good at. It's very good for editing data. If you imagine on a web server, you might have a bunch of configuration files, and you run a few commands on them. Previously, you might SSH into that box, navigate to the, you know, the path, run BI on it, edit it, save it, and then launch a command. If you imagine a textual app which has all those configuration files listed, you click on it, brings up the editor. You can edit it, and then you've got a button to lint it and a button to restart a process or something. So that's one use case. It's like configuring boxes.
Okay, so like a sysadmin stuff, it helped with a lot of that.
Yeah, and you can install it on multiple servers. So you could have essentially a cluster of textual apps, and we're going to build a UI where that allows you to list multiple textual apps. You could even put it on a map and show you where they are physically. You click on one of those boxes, and it brings up the textual app, and then you can interact with it and restart a server, and then click on the next one.
Nice.
There's quite a lot of applications around that, kind of like DevOps, sysadmin kind of thing.
Okay. Now, so if anybody's curious for following along with what's going on with Textual and Rich, I encourage people to follow Python Bytes. No, because we cover it a lot. But actually, you've got your new website is textualize.io. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's right. Yeah, it's kind of a jumping off point for our projects. It links to the docs and got a gallery for Rich and Textual. Because one of the things I noticed is I was losing track of all the projects which used Rich in particular. So on our website, we've got a gallery that lists them all, and you can tag them for particular topics.
Okay. And with all the excitement around Rich and Textual, I think getting in the gallery is a pretty decent way to get noticed by everybody else.
So your readers are working on a Rich project, they can submit a PR. Once you merge it, it gets built automatically, and then your content's on the gallery.
Nice. Cool. Anything else you want to shout out before we wrap it up?
Nothing off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to keep up. Thanks for talking with us, and we'll keep watching to see what cool things you're up to. So thanks again. Well, and also I probably have called you Rich occasionally on the podcast because
I did once, but I forgive you. I can see how you could make that mistake.
Also you often hang out in the, I don't know if you'll do this in the future cause you're probably busy, but, you often show up in the chat on Python Bytes and help
I do. Yeah. I mean, it's on just after dinner in the UK time. Okay. So I have to learn, and I sit down to Python Byte.
Nice. Well, if you've noticed, other people may have not noticed yet. We've kind of shifted to Tuesday nights. So Tuesday in the US it's afternoon, but, we do it noon Pacific, but anyway, so textualize.io. And then also, you're on there. There's links to your Twitter account and actually Textualize Twitter account and other things. So cool. Well, I guess good luck. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Cheers. Been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Testing Code. Let's keep in touch. Head over to pythontest.com/contact to reach out to me, or /newsletter so that I can reach you, or /support if you'd like to, get a course or something. That's all for now. Now go out and test something.